This is Dial the Saint introducing Maximilian Kolbe. The words of a popular song, "How Deep Is Your Love?" gives us a way to think about Maximilian Kolbe's life. Raymond, later changed to Maximilian, was one of three brothers born to a poor but industrious family in Poland during the Russian occupation in 1894. The father wove cloth at home to sell. The family was managed by his wife, who tolerated no disobedience and dealt firmly with each offender. Raymond was an honest, lively boy, but very independent and stubborn. His impulsive nature tried his mother's patience, who, one day when he was 10 years old, said in exasperation as he looked toward heaven, "My poor child, what will become of you?"
These words must have reached to the soul of Raymond, who changed completely. He spent more time praying before the picture of Our Lady of Częstochowa in their home. At times, his eyes would be red with tears. His mother demanded the reason for his crying.
"Oh, Mother, I can't disobey you. Remember when you asked what will become of me? Well, I went to the altar in church and asked Our Lady the same thing. She appeared to me holding two crowns and asked me which one I would choose. The white one meant that I would always be pure. The red one meant that I would die a martyr. I said to her that I would choose both. Then she smiled and disappeared. Now it seems that when I go to church, I go with Our Lady and Saint Joseph, and not with you and Father at all."
Francis, the oldest son, was sent away to business school, while Raymond was given the responsibility of running the family shop and cooking the meals when his mother, who was also a midwife, was called away. Once, she sent him to get some medicine from the pharmacist. The chemist was impressed by the boy and offered to teach him so he could also pass the school's entrance examination. Raymond did well, and when he and Francis finished, they asked to be admitted in the Franciscan seminary.
Raymond sometimes thought of himself as a military leader and would spend hours making strategic plans and moving the units of two imaginary armies against each other. His classmates said that if he had not joined the Franciscan order, he would have become a great strategist or inventor. As it was, he was sent to study in Rome, where he took the name of Maximilian.
World War I fired Maximilian's desire to counter the spread of evil and the destruction of souls. He conceived of an organization to do battle under the leadership of Mary called the Knights of the Immaculate. In 1917, the first meeting of its seven members was held. The goal was to distribute the miraculous medal. At the age of 21, he completed his doctorate in philosophy and the doctorate in theology at 26, much to the relief of his teachers, who had been asked too often questions they could not answer. He kept informed with the latest scientific developments.
"Some say that the new film and radio industries are instruments for spreading evil. I think they can serve the glory of God. The Knights of the Immaculate must somehow convert all sinners to love God."
After the war ended, Maximilian was assigned to Krakow in Poland, but he was sick with tuberculosis, which he had contracted in Italy. Some of the fellow priests made fun of how slowly he moved to avoid hemorrhage by calling him Marmalade, but he allowed himself no comfort if he could convince others how important it was to save their souls.
His battle was fought with the aid of the miraculous medal. Each day he would give away these bullets, explaining the great love the Immaculate Mother had for each person. He started a society of the Knights of the Immaculate for the people who lived outside the monastery. Membership grew as word about this Franciscan who had such love for the Mother of God spread. Maximilian asked permission to print a membership bulletin. This was permitted only if he could raise the funds. The first printing was made because he begged for the money. The second was possible when he found an envelope containing the exact amount needed on the altar of the Blessed Mother.
Now he needed a printing press. One day, some of his fellow priests thought they would make fun of him in front of a visiting priest from America. They joked about the quality of his workmanship, his plan to conquer the world for Mary at the age of 25, and how he had so few pennies to do all this. Maximilian covered his mouth with his hand to prevent a reply. The American priest was not amused, and after gently scolding the fathers, he wrote a check to cover the purchase of the equipment. In 1922, Maximilian was transferred to Grodno, a declining town far away.
Here, Immaculate Mother, my glasses are my eyes, my thoughts, my work. The watch I have is the time I have left. All this belongs to you. It is only proper that you do with me as you please.
The work prospered. Brothers were attracted by Maximilian to help with the work. Circulation of the bulletin grew from 5,000 to 45,000 in 1936, and in direct proportion to the number of sleepless nights everyone labored. But still another move was necessary.
This time it was to an open tract of land near Warsaw, at first for sale, but then given to Maximilian to build a village to be named the City of the Mother of God. The 18 brothers and two priests set to work and were soon joined by the local peasants, who were impressed by the little brothers, who were not at all proud.
Beside the publication of the monthly review, which reached 1 million in 1938, publication began in Latin. A radio station started broadcasts, and children's literature was distributed. Even an airport was planned to help distribution. Maximilian traveled to Japan to start another city of the Mother of God. His rule of life was simple.
I expect that each person must become not only a saint, but a great saint. Sanctity is not a luxury, but a simple duty. We must unite our will to the will of God, who wants us to become saints. It is so simple. The one requirement is to obey, and this fact is best learned on one's knees.
Germany attacked Poland in September 1939. In 1940, the Germans gave permission to publish one last time. In this issue, Maximilian wrote,
"If good consists in the love of God and in all things that spring from love, evil, in its substance, is a negation of love. There are two opponents at the bottom of each human soul, good and evil, sin and love."
In February 1941, a Gestapo car stopped in front of the friary.
"Are you Maximilian Kolbe?"
"Yes, I am."
"Then follow us. You are under arrest."
He was taken to a camp in Warsaw for inspection. When the leader saw the rosary he wore,
"Dirty priest, tell me, do you believe in the crucifix?"
"Yes, I believe."
Maximilian was hit again and again.
"Do you still believe?"
"Yes, I do believe."
He was again beaten and kicked, but when he no longer moved, his tormentor ran off, slamming the door.
A few days later, he was sent to Auschwitz, death camp, where his tormentor vowed merciless hatred for Maximilian. Once he was beaten until thought dead, when someone at the infirmary brought him a little tea.
"Since the others have none, I will not be the exception."
He was then transferred to Block 14, from which, later, a prisoner was found missing. The punishment was, if one escaped, 20 men in that block would be condemned to death by starvation.
At this morning's roll call, the fugitive has not been found. Block 14 is to remain at attention all day.
By 3 o'clock, the commandant began to choose the condemned men with sadistic pleasure.
"This one, that one, and that one."
When the number had been reached,
"All right, take off your shoes, turn to the left, forward."
Just then, Maximilian stepped forward from the ranks of those who would live. The commandant reached for his gun and yelled,
"Halt, what does this Pole want of me?"
"I would like to die in place of one of the men you have condemned."
"But why?"
"I am old and good for nothing. My life will serve no purpose."
"In whose place do you want to die?"
"For that one. He has a wife and children."
"Who are you?"
"A Catholic priest."
"All right, go with them."
Maximilian died in the underground starvation bunkers. But his death and that of his companions did not involve the usual screaming and cursing. They sang, and so did those in the bunkers next to them. They prayed and sang hymns. The amazed guards said, "We have never seen anything like this."
When he died, his face was serene and radiant. He was declared to be a saint in heaven in 1982. His words are clear enough.
Every grace is the gift of the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit. However, Mary is so perfectly united with the Holy Spirit that he acts only through his spouse. And so, all our life, every thought, word, and deed is in her hands. Therefore, at every moment, she herself must instruct, guide, and transform each one of us into herself, so that not we, but she lives in us, as Jesus lives in her, and the Father in the Son.